The following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's GNCASTS.com.
The Force is strong with us, and we hope it is strong with you. Welcome to another edition of The New Jedi Archives with Zach Hagenbusher and Ben Schultz.
Hello, Zach.
Hello, Ben. And hello, Joey.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Joey.
Joey's back.
I'm back.
Joey, our Ewok-loving friend.
I was just going to say you didn't bring more Ewoks.
No, but I did bring some trade disputes with me.
You did?
Yes, brought like five of them.
What kind of dispute about trade do you have for us
today? We got one about spices later on coming up.
Okay.
The Spacing Guild is upset that I took some of the spice from Arrakis.
I see. Okay. So you're very well versed on the trade disputes of Star Wars.
Oh, all of them.
All right. But we can talk about that later.
Actually. Well. I also watched Boss Baby.
All right, we're not talking about Boss Baby. We're here to talk.
In preparation for this.
We're here to talk about Star Wars. This is episode 22 of the New Jedi Archives, and the very first episode recorded in 2018. Yay! We made it through to a new calendar year, Ben, without quitting out of frustration.
Well, you know, give it time.
Give it time, exactly. We've already had some conversations today off mic that have made me seriously consider whether or not this podcast can even last another calendar year. And we'll find out together.
What are we talking about today, Zach?
Well, we're talking about, we've been doing character profiles.
I remember I was there for a couple of them.
Yeah, you were there for all of them, actually.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about Anakin Skywalker. We've talked about Obi-Wan Kenobi. And we've talked about Padme Amidala. And today, I felt like there would be no more fitting character to do a profile on than one whose ultimate story is now, well, could be concluded, at least in life, in physical life, and that would be...
Snoke.
It's true, Snoke, but no, Luke Skywalker.
Oh, Squirmy.
Squirmy. That's right, or has his friends called him Wormy.
Squirmy was his sister, never mind.
Yes, so Wormy. And we'll get into that. Right now, Luke's early beginnings, okay? As soon as he's born, he's whisked away to the desert planet of Tatooine, left with his aunt and uncle.
In the sand.
Well, his step-aunt and uncle. Owen and Beru Lars. I think it's a really interesting point, first off, that Owen and Beru, they could have, in theory, raised Luke as their child. You know, they could have said, we're your mom and dad. And he never would have known anything about his dad, who was a navigator on a spice freighter or whatever, which they clearly made up and told him something. But why do you think they didn't, and it's more of a question about them than it is Luke, but why do you think they didn't accept that responsibility to be his actual parents? Because they don't wind up having children of their own.
Because people born on Tatooine are shitty people. I also,
much like people born on Naboo, people are the same all over.
And I don't know why they don't tell Luke that they're his parents. I'm assuming it's because they were reluctant to raise the boy. I'm not your dad. I'm not your dad because your real dad is gone. He was a navigator on a spice freighter, and you whined and bitched too much even as an infant, and he left.
He left you behind.
No, he sold you to us for some drinking money.
That's right. Hey, you never know. Maybe that's what he told him. Though we didn't hear that part from Luke, but we did hear that, you know, they gave him an idea of who his dad was. You probably have the best answer. We don't necessarily know them to be great people. I mean, they raise him for what that's worth, and they seem to be compassionate enough for him. But, I mean, yeah, he's not their child, and Anakin really isn't Owen's brother. Owen met him for, like, a couple of hours, and then they left.
Plus, they don't like Obi-Wan.
Right, and they clearly don't want Luke to learn how to be a Jedi, because they prevent Obi-Wan from teaching him to be a Jedi. So they may... But that I think, that's why it confuses me, because like if they really didn't want him to be a Jedi, they could have tried to erase that stuff from him, I guess is my point.
But they did. What did they tell him about being a Jedi? He says he belongs to somebody named Obi-Wan Kenobi. Do you think he means old Ben? I don't remember what Owen's response is, but it's not...
He died about the same time as your father. That's what he says.
Yeah, so he, as far as he knows, Ben Kenobi is the creepy old hermit who just gawks at him when they see each other in Mos Eisley
or
Tashi Station.
Right.
He has no idea who Obi-Wan is, or that Obi-Wan has any significance in his life whatsoever. And as you've pointed out numerous times, we don't know that they told him his last name is Skywalker.
Well, I feel like they had to have told him that at least.
Why?
Because he introduces himself as Luke Skywalker.
After he meets Obi-Wan, Obi-Wan could have clearly said, no, your father was Anakin Skywalker. Obi-Wan could have been the first person to tell him that last name.
He could have told him that off screen, but we don't see that happen on screen.
But we don't see what the Lars family gives him off screen either, so one assumption is as good as the other.
Sure, I guess.
So there's no reason to believe that he didn't try to erase all of that from Luke's existence.
I feel like they do realize, though, that he is an important person that shouldn't be identified by the Empire, because he never gets to join the Imperial Academy like his friends, Biggs and
like
others.
Like he wants to.
Like he wanted to, because he just wants to get off world. I don't think that has anything to do with like him being loyal to the Empire or anything. It's like someone who is from a small town and joins the army, you know, in the United States. It's like, this is a springboard for you to potentially, you know, to go and see different things, and for you to go and really build a life outside of your town. A lot of people are in that situation. So I feel like that was kind of more of what, that's just my interpretation of what Luke might have been going for by joining the Imperial Academy. But what do you guys think?
It may be, but clearly there's enough freighter transport on Tatooine. They have to import almost everything.
Could have gone into the family business and been a spice pilot.
Right, easily enough.
Could have gone to the moons of Yago, seen the angels.
And
he could have. You're absolutely right.
He apparently knows that there's a rebellion going on, so he could have been wanting to run off to join the rebellion.
Or they could be, they are treating him kind of like a Cinderella situation here, where he's like, you're Darth Vader's son. We're going to treat you like garbage. And he's like, I got to get out of here. But he's real positive, and he's...
I need you here for one more year, Luke, because I'm sucking old. The moisture out of this atmosphere is really hard on my old boat.
Right. I mean,
season.
He does. Right. Yeah, he does need help around a farm.
That's what he
you
says.
You can't expect one person to run a farm entirely.
I feel like there's
on
an
their
irrigation
own.
In a world where there's droids, and their farm is... They're moisture farmers. They're sucking moisture out of the air and ground.
Which seems illegal to me, but whatever.
How is that illegal? That's how they're getting their water.
That's monopolizing natural resources.
On a desert planet?
Yep.
It seems to me like it would be... I don't understand how there would be enough water in the air.
We are getting away. We are getting away from the larger point.
How do we know Tatooine is all desert?
We are getting away.
We see a little bit of desert.
Oh my God. We're getting away from the larger point. And I had a feeling this was going to happen, but this is the danger of inviting Joey Hart to.
I'm sorry, I had to make a comment because earlier Zachary told us that Canto Bite was not a casino planet.
And it's not.
Said, we only see the little bit of casino, and then we see a lot of beach.
Yeah, and a lot of green and foliage, and you see a lot, but that's not the point of this.
Anyway, Luke Skywalker, Zach, get back on track.
Okay.
What's next on our agenda?
You've completely thrown me off. You've completely thrown me off, and I have no idea.
He wants to go to Tashi Station. He can't. So they have to go to the Jawas to get new droids.
The Jawas come to them.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, the Jabba's come to them, and they buy the droids for help just on the like farm. But the droids are not work droids. He's there to help his uncle. I guess my point is, yes, Owen and Beru, it seems to me, protect him in
wait,
a way.
Wait, what? Keeping, the droids what do you mean they're work not droids? Work droids?
Well, they're not. R2's an astromech.
Why would you? R2's a repair droid, so he can repair stuff.
Why would you buy astromech otherwise? His specialty is fixing starships.
Which are different from moisture evaporators. How?
I don't know, but they clearly are.
They're wires and gears and.
Well, and honestly, they didn't originally want R2. They wanted an R4.
They wanted an R4, which is also an astromech. I guess you could assume.
Well, but astromech might be the brand of droid.
But 3PO he can speak with binary locators similar to moisture evaporators.
Right? He's like a kit
binary car, load lifters.
Maybe it was load lifters. Yeah. Either way,
are not much different than evaporators.
He can communicate with the machines in a way that Owen apparently cannot. So they have roles on the farm. That's why they're purchased.
That's Bashi too.
But this all doesn't make any difference. You guys are getting me completely. This is ridiculous.
Anyway,
I'm sure this is the worst episode. This is the worst episode of our podcast.
Yeah, whatever.
No, this point, I think
this is the best episode.
So they get the droids. They go back, and then Luke, while he's
cleaning R2, he discovers the message from Leia. Well, quote unquote, discovers. R2 plays it for him.
Right. And he says, she's beautiful.
Yeah, he does.
This is before he knows that she's his sister.
Correct.
Long before.
Correct. Yeah. What up? Yeah, he has no idea. What you guys are, you can't blame him for that.
I don't blame him for it. I'm pointing it out.
Why are you blaming him for that?
Because it just feels wrong.
But he has no idea. Nor would he have any reason to not have any idea. I know you know.
R2 knows, just for the record.
I know he knows.
But I'm pointing it out.
3PO. Luke can translate R2's language anyway.
Luke doesn't understand R2 right away.
I feel like he does.
Yeah, we've had this discussion, and I can't find anything in film to prove that Zach's wrong yet.
No, actually, that's... In episode 4, he tells 3PO to... Oh, tell him to play back the entire message. He is using 3PO as a translator.
Anyway, the reason that I bring it up is because in a little while, you're going to say some things, and I need this as
okay, well, a little while is kind of right now. So he knew about the fight against the Empire.
Right.
Because he asks 3PO and R2, oh, you know of the rebellion against the Empire? And, like, they were a part of the fight, part of the battle. And then
I feel like that should be a red flag, that Luke is like, why do you know about this stuff?
Well, no, he knows why, because they told him, that's how we came to be in your service, if you catch my meaning, sir. Like, they were telling him straight out that they were rebellion droids. But he didn't have a problem with that. He wasn't going to report them or turn them in for...
Well, they're on the outer rim in a planet controlled by the Hutts.
Like, how did you get here?
No, there's an Imperial presence. There's stormtroopers all over the place.
There's Imperial presence everywhere.
Well, sure. But I'm saying if he was loyal to the Empire, like, very loyal, he would have turned them in.
I'm trying to build this case that Luke is kind of not as great as everyone thinks he is here. And he's not putting together, how did these droids get here? Like, this is a clear oversight. Like, why is he not questioning? How did you droids get here from the Rebellion? Like, this is... Outer Rim.
Well,
territory.
No, he knows.
He bought the droids from Jawa.
Okay,
they're obviously stolen droids.
It is a deleted scene, but
we can't talk about them.
We can because we have before. It's a deleted scene from 4, but the sequence with when they were calling him Wormy and when you see Biggs originally that they cut from the initial thing of the film, that sequence begins with Luke looking out of his macro binoculars at the sky, and you can see that the fight. Is happening above. Like, because they're close enough to the planet where you can... So they've established you can see from space or from the ground things that are going on in
Sky
space.
Skyhopper so and gone up there and fought with them.
That can't survive in space, Joey. It's a land speeder.
It's fine. I feel like Luke is not...
He's not a very
a lot
ethical
of questions.
Individual.
He's not asking a
he
lot
doesn't,
of questions
no, it's
that
true.
He probably should
he
be.
He doesn't ask a lot of questions. I mean, he and Obi-Wan want to leave... Tatooine, after his aunt and uncle are killed by the Empire, Obi-Wan tells him, yep, come learn the ways of the Force.
All right.
We're going to go help Leia. And he agrees to go help.
Because Leia's hot.
Yes. Because he's a teenager. Which I pretty much disproves my point to begin with, I guess. Sorry.
Because Leia's hot. That's why he doesn't care where the droids came from.
Yeah.
They're his in
yeah.
to the hot girl.
Yeah.
That's it.
So you're going to go off with the old man. The crazy old man who's now telling you, giving you a laser sword and saying this was your dad's.
Well, this
turns out your
dad's. This cool laser sword was your dad's. You need to run off with me. Actually, first he says he can't.
Yeah, he does say he can't until his aunt and uncle die.
Or are in hiding.
Are killed by the Empire.
We don't know that they're killed by the Empire.
What are those corpses there?
I don't know, but the Jawas didn't burn like that when they got shot with blasters.
It could be a
cooking accident.
Blue milk made it flammable.
I wouldn't say cooking accident. I'm just saying it could have been just two bodies placed there for effect.
And the Aunt Beru and Lars could be off being tortured by the Empire somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, you're. Why do you do this? Why do you do this?
Because there is nothing on film to demonstrate that that is Owen and Beru.
But that's the idea, right?
Oh, yeah, we're meant to believe that.
We're meant to infer that they're dead, that they were killed by the Empire.
I meant to infer that stormtroopers shot Jawa and then came to these two and were like,
let's tell us
where Wormy is or I'm going to light your ass on fire.
Yeah.
And then they just burn them with like a flamethrower?
Yeah, we know they have flamethrowers.
Yeah. No, we know that clone troopers had flamethrowers.
And that First Order stormtroopers had flamethrowers after that.
But we don't know that stormtroopers have flamethrowers, and you just argued with me before we filmed that you can't draw a direct correlation from First Order to Empire.
Also, they may not have needed a flamethrower. It could have been a thermal detonator.
Wouldn't that have destroyed the hut?
What about
it did.
No, the hut was still intact.
It was smoking.
What about
smoking? A thermal detonator should have blown it to shit.
Okay, clearly a fire was started by something.
Yes. Yeah, it was probably a faulty power converter because Luke didn't pick him up from Tashi Station.
Who's to say that they didn't crawl their way out of the burning building?
Well, that's how they were on fire when they got outside.
Then they both would have been on their stomachs and at least one was on its back.
Was on its back, writhing around in pain from being on fire.
If it was writhing around in pain from being on fire, then it wouldn't have been able to crawl
this
out of the
building. This is not about Luke's... Why did you do this?
Stop, drop, and roll.
This is not about Luke Skywalker.
Stop, drop, and roll.
This is about Luke's story, and I'm talking about his...
These are formative events in his life that make him the man that he is when he evaporates later on.
Well, You're right.
This is an important scene because, and honestly, for all we know, Obi-Wan could have killed him. Because them being dead are ultimately the reason Luke leaves.
Right.
That's why I was spending time on it. We don't really know how they died. We're meant to believe that they were killed by the stormtroopers. But actually, every attack we see by stormtroopers doesn't have that effect. So we don't really know what killed them. We don't.
Okay.
Only Imperial.
And we know Obi-Wan is shady as shit.
But he didn't have time to really.
No, he didn't have time. He was traveling with Luke that entire time. He didn't have time to go kill Owen and Beru.
He could have done it when the sand people were attacking.
What is that? Well, you just put up your hands.
There are many force powers
that are just made up in the moment when they're convenient.
That's true. I guess you're right. He could have, but it would go against pretty much everything that we know.
Force burn the
up
crap
to that point.
Out of
but so I'm I don't subscribe to that theory. But you guys, can
I'm just saying
want.
This is ultimately the catalyst that allows him to leave. The hot girl is what sparks it, but the fact that his family is dead is what a lot has him go with the crazy old man. To see the hot girl.
Now, he meets Han Solo and Chewbacca in the cantina. And he and Han have an interesting dynamic. I mean, in episode 4, they're almost competing for the attention of Leia. Or at least you're sort of meant to believe that Luke sees it that way. But Han, I don't know if he considers Luke, quote-unquote, competition in any way.
Well, Luke doesn't really like Han right from the beginning before
That's
Han
true.
Is anywhere near
He's a
Leia.
Scoundrel.
You're right.
Outlaw.
You're right. He sees Han as someone not... Maybe that shouldn't be trusted at all.
Which leads
because
me to believe
smuggler.
That Luke actually wanted to join the Empire because clearly he has disdain for people who disobey the law.
Well, no, because when he hears, again, and I know you're saying, because it's the hot girl. If someone presents you with an opportunity to join an active rebellion, like go against the government and help and rescue and fight back against the government so that you can rescue one person, I would think that there would have to be a part of your mind or a part of your conscience that if you didn't want to go do that, would stop you from doing that.
Okay. Is that individual an extremely powerful and wealthy beyond my imagination hot girl, and do I get a laser sword in the process?
You've been presented with the laser sword before even actually leaving for this mission.
Right. I've been given the laser sword, told, I will teach you how to use magic. Ben, here's a magic sword. I will teach you to be a wizard. Oh, by the way, here's this hot girl that you have in your head. Because we know, he tells Han, she's wealthier than you could even imagine. I'm sure she'll pay you.
Right.
So she's rich, she's good looking, and I get to learn magic.
Wait, why does Obi-Wan tell him that they're brother and sister? I feel like he could...
Because Obi-Wan's a dick.
Talk into the microphone, please.
I feel like Obi-Wan could have put a stop to all this and said, hey, she's your sister. I feel like this is a certain point of view that's convenient for him.
Here's the question, though. Does Obi-Wan know? I mean, was he really there at the birth? Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah, he was. Never mind. He was
literally on the other side of the glass.
We've talked about this so many times. Why does it matter? It doesn't matter.
It does matter that Obi-Wan hid it. Why does he decide to hide it from Luke?
Because...
manipulating.
No. Yes. I've been thinking about this because it was part of my larger points about Luke that I was thinking about before we recorded this episode. What's the idea of the Jedi? The Jedi don't have familial attachments, right? I mean, they're not supposed to.
Yeah, but I feel like it's pretty easy for a society as advanced as we see in Star Wars to figure out that inbreeding is going to lead down.
It's not inbreeding. He obviously did not intend for Luke to fuck Leia or something. That doesn't make any sense. The point is, if you reveal to Luke that
Leia is on this mission because he thinks that the princess is attractive, and he has a shot.
And being Obi-Wan is going to use that to his advantage.
No, but that is not Obi-Wan's intention.
Obi-Wan's intention is to get Luke off the planet to learn to be a Jedi to kill Darth Vader. Right,
that is his intention.
If it takes him not telling Luke that Leia's his sister to help get him off the planet right now...
But that's an unexpected consequence. I don't think he tells Luke that Leia's his sister because he doesn't want that attachment to be a thing.
No, I disagree.
Jedi, traditional Jedi, which Obi-Wan and Yoda both are,
bullshit,
are raised without familial attachment.
Bullshit. Doesn't mean
they don't understand.
No, they intentionally play off familial attachment to get him to do what he wants.
They certainly know what it is, but they don't.
You're telling me that they have no idea what Luke is feeling when Luke finds out that Darth Vader is his father and they've asked him to kill his own father, knowing that Luke is not brought up in the same Jedi ways that they were without familial attachments.
No, but that goes even further to my point. They didn't tell Luke that Darth Vader was his father. They don't tell Luke that Leia is his sister because they don't want to establish...
But they do tell Luke that Darth Vader killed his father.
They do, yes. And I'm not saying that they don't. Clearly,
so they're using familial attachment to manipulate him.
To their advantage at that point,
I think if Obi-Wan had not been killed when he was, I think that Obi-Wan would have told Luke that Leia was his sister. I think he just didn't do it yet because it served his purpose to get Luke off the planet.
Okay. I can see that. I feel like...
Well, because later on it's, and Darth Vader's also going to try and kill your sister, so you really have to murder him.
Sure.
So I think that's how it was going to play out before he died.
Though, even when Luke presents him with the idea of there being another Skywalker, he never outwardly just comes out and says, by the way, it's Leia. And again, I think it's because when you go back to the core idea of the Jedi, if in Luke's mind... I mean, he already feels very strongly for Han and Leia at that point because they're his best friends. And he leaves Dagobah to go and help and try and go save them. But the idea of like, that's your sister. Well, then that immediately creates a stronger idea of connection and an attachment to that person.
Are you sure about that?
And they were trying to avoid that.
Are you sure about
that? I am sure about that.
All right, so here's a...
I just want a timestamp right now.
Okay.
All right. Here's an interesting question that I have then.
Sure.
If Luke is... Does this whole thing where the Jedi don't have the family attachments and all that, and he may or may not feel manipulated by Ben and Yoda, Obi-Wan and Yoda, that they didn't tell him that Vader's his father, they asked him to kill him, and that Leia's his sister,
sure,
and all this. Do you think that that maybe plays into when you get to Last Jedi, and he's like, well, the Jedi are maybe not so good?
No, absolutely. I think it absolutely does. And we can... We'll definitely get to that, and I feel like we'll probably spend most of our time on that, frankly, because we seem to have a lot to say about that. He does take on Jedi training from Yoda after Obi-Wan tells him, hey, you got to go do this. You know, this is where you'll find your next step in becoming a Jedi. He leaves the rebellion behind for now, and he goes to Dagobah, an unknown planet he knows nothing about, to now, go and train with Yoda.
Before we get into that, I do want to mention, because we're going to talk, he joined the rebellion, and you are very focused on the fact that Luke wanted to join the rebellion, or that's
it
the impression
it
that
does
you got.
Seem to me that when presented with the opportunity to join the rebellion, and especially to fly an X-Wing into battle against the Death Star, he doesn't really have a second chance or a second thought about doing so.
But the point that I want to bring up there...
Even when Han Solo... I just need to point this out, too. Even Han Solo gives him an out. He says, kid, we could use a hand like you. We're getting the fuck out of here. You come with us and survive. And he says, no, shame on you. I'm going
to
help.
Right, because you have to remember, this is also after he just watched Obi-Wan get killed on that same Death Star.
Right.
So I don't think his motivation there is completely yo rebellion. I think it's more you killed Ben.
But he admonishes Han Solo for being selfish.
No, he admonishes Han Solo for leaving.
No, he says, take care of yourself, Han. I guess that's what you're best at, isn't it? That's rubbing it in his face that he's doing a selfish action.
You're absolutely right.
Right, he admonishes him for
being selfish. That doesn't mean that he's not being selfish himself and telling himself it's
for
a better thing.
No, that's true, but I'm saying that, with what we're presented with, it seems to me like Luke is doing it because he feels like he wants to help the larger effort.
Okay, let me put it to you this way, though. All right, Luke is growing up in... All right, let me change this. My analogy here is Luke is a teenager in Nazi Germany. He grows up in this environment where the Nazi way is the way. They're the empire. That's clearly the parallel that is being drawn here in this movie. And then,
I don't know if that's completely true, because Tatooine, as we've established, there's an imperial presence, but it is largely controlled.
Okay, so he's growing up in Austria.
Right.
He's in Austria.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. He's not like in Nazi Latvia. Germany. He's technically under Nazi purview.
He's singing with the Von Trapps.
Sure, sure.
And he's Rolf. And he's like, I don't know. You're saying that here's a laser sword. Also, I just saw this guy that I've known for 2 days get killed. Is enough to switch sides?
I'm not saying it's enough to switch sides. I'm saying there had to have been a level of, I really don't like, you know, this empire is kind of a bad deal. Like, and that it only took a little bit of motivation to kind of be like, yes, let me fight the empire. You know, like, let me help the cause.
See, and I think it's more realistic that he left Tatooine because his family's gone and Obi-Wan offered to teach him magic and there's a hot girl who's rich involved. Then Obi-Wan gets killed and he wants vengeance. Plus, he's doing what the hot girl wants. That doesn't hurt. And then he's the hero of the Battle of Yavin and gets swept up in being the hero of the Battle of Yavin.
Buys into his own legend.
Luke ultimately goes and accepts the Jedi training, but he has a problem grasping the larger pieces of the Force, grasping the larger pieces of what Yoda's trying to impart to him, and we've been over this before. I think that's largely because of his upbringing. He sees the world in a certain way, and that he's not able to really see it in the way that he needs to fully use the Force.
From a certain point of view. So we've established here, then, that Luke is becoming a Jedi because he's swept up in this, I'm the hero of the Battle of Yavin.
I do think that's possible.
So that's,
because he uses a lot. He undertakes the idea of becoming a Jedi on his own after Obi-Wan is dead and gone.
Because he does talk about in whatever this new one, Last Jedi. There we go. Remember the name. Well, I'm trying to block it out. So he does talk about in The Last Jedi, like, this buying into his own legend. And he's like, oh, yeah, I can go out and train these people. So I think that's the beginning of it, is I can be a Jedi. I can learn from one guy.
Or I can do it on my own. I can go and find books, and I can go and figure it out.
He might not fully comprehend what he is getting himself into, even.
Right.
Because it's been 30 years, and as we've established with The Force Awakens, 30 years is enough time to forget everything.
I'm a Jedi Knight, like my father before me.
He says those words eventually, but not at the point we're talking about.
No, but it goes along to the being swept up in the romanticism and the legend that is the Jedi.
Sure.
It's going into the family business.
I think it's a mix of both. Joey, I think you're bringing up a very good point. His vision of himself, his ego, in a way, is sort of getting the best of him, telling him that he can do these things.
Wait till Luke finds out the family business is slaughtering younglings.
And that's exactly where we're going. So Darth Vader reveals to him, after their fight, that he's his father. Luke knows this to be true, because he can search his feelings or whatever, and he just knows, I guess. But
like a dictionary.
Does he know it to be true?
I think he does.
Doesn't he ask Obi-Wan and Yoda about it? Because he screams no a lot.
I mean, he asks them about it, I think, just to confirm what he already knows to be true. But when Vader tells him, I don't think he would be so emotional about it if he didn't think that there was some truth to it. Because otherwise he would be like, no, you're an idiot. Why would you're just lying to me? Like, instead,
he did just have his hand cut off.
Yeah, and he's very emotional, as we found out from when he was told he could not go to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters.
All right, thanks, Joey. Thank you for that.
Angsty teen does run in his family.
Sure, but I don't think he would have been that emotional, screaming over the top, no! If he didn't think that there was some truth.
Look at all the emotional things his father did at that age.
Also, he does, sitting on the Millennium Falcon holding his stump of a hand, he does say, Ben, why didn't you tell me? I think he's accepted it as the truth at that point. But obviously, Vader was telling him this to try and get him to, hey, join me. We're going to go run the galaxy together and kill the Emperor and all this stuff.
Father-son time?
Father-son time.
But what I
think it actually did, that, in my opinion, is the catalyst for bringing Luke out of his whiny stage and into his badass Jedi stage.
Because now he's got to save his father.
Or now he's got to do something to stop it, because he feels more responsibility for it now because of that familial connection, which again is completely the opposite of what Obi-Wan and Yoda, according to my theory, wanted for him.
Well, they were, I think, afraid that Luke would turn to the dark side if he knew Vader was his father.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that because they saw Anakin turn. So I think that's why they went with the Vader killed your father line instead of the Vader is your father and you have an obligation to kill him.
Did you have a point, Joey?
No, I'm just still looking at this painting here, or photograph, and it still looks like the terrace where Anakin confessed his hatred of sand.
That's my mom's picture of New Canaan, Connecticut. That's where she grew up.
Is that where the movie was filmed?
That terrace isn't where she grew up, but that is in New Canaan, the town in which she grew up.
Is that where the movie was filmed?
No.
Should be.
This is a Galactic Network podcast.
We are the Elsnerds.
Hello, I'm Gregor Sprague, and this is the Elsnerds. Now, what are the Elsnerds? Well, it's myself and Corey Scott, along with our producers, Beatmaster and Evan Rockety, as we talk about everything that is on our nerdy little heart, whether it be comic books, movies, TV shows, video games, cell phones, the moments that we're walking down the street and a person says hi. It doesn't matter. We talk about everything, and you can find it at elsnerds.com.
For more on this Galactic Network podcast, go to gncast.com. That's gncast.com.
Much of Luke's, and this is, you guys can refute this if you want. I'm just presenting it as an idea.
We probably will if you already said that.
Possibly. More than any other of the main characters to me, Luke's path is influenced by the idea of destiny. Obi-Wan and Yoda constantly hammer into him, it's your destiny to be a Jedi.
More than any other character?
More than any other main character.
That I don't feel like anyone
else. What about Anakin?
Okay.
The chosen one for...
You're right. Actually, you're right about that. All right, so both of them equally.
I don't feel like any other characters, other than those two, have anyone saying, you need to do this.
That's what I mean.
No, like, I don't think it was even a competition.
Sure.
Then we even need to think about that.
Right. Well, that's not the idea that you're going to contest. Ben contested it. You contested it correctly. Yes, Anakin's sort of the same way. So, but Anakin kind of... Where Anakin goes off that beaten path, or some people may say he actually does it correctly and quote-unquote balances the Force in a very destructive way.
You don't need to quote-unquote that. That's definitive.
Sure. Luke's decisions do ultimately spit in the face of what people said his destiny was supposed to be.
That's because Obi-Wan and Yoda have a history of not correctly interpreting destiny.
Sure, okay.
I feel like that line, the Jedi were like, nah, so great, that whole speech was specifically directed at those two.
Yeah.
Like, they're the two that he knows, and he's like, yeah, they lied to me a lot, they told me a lot of this crap, and I eventually became this guy who's like, hey, I can do pretty much anything, because they told me I could do anything. And I bought into it, and then when it blew up in my face, I was like, maybe I'm not so great.
Right. That's my point. Is that so? People have said,
I'm gonna contest that now.
People have said The Last Jedi, and that the Luke that we see in The Last Jedi is the You actually said it before we were recording, Ben. You said you were going to make the case, quote unquote, hashtag not my Luke. That it's not the way that Luke could have or should have developed. But I would argue that Luke's turn in The Last Jedi and his actions in The Last Jedi and the larger theme of The Last Jedi applies itself perfectly to Luke's ultimate story. Destiny is what you make it. Destiny is not predetermined.
But my point in saying all that before we started recording...
Sure.
I have a really hard time with the idea of Luke Skywalker abandoning Leia, since he was willing to throw destiny aside, the rebellion aside, everything aside, to save Leia before.
Yeah, but he was like 20 at the time.
But even after he knew she was his sister.
No,
what?
I feel like he was like a young, reckless kid at the time when he like threw everything away. He was like, I'm going to go do this.
But he wasn't going to do anything.
He's like 22, 23 in Empire.
But he wasn't going to do anything. He was just sending Rey away. You're buying into the hype. Now, I know you said, well, he doesn't want to get involved in the Galactic War. I don't care about the war. I don't give a shit about any of that right now. His sister, he did nothing to help Leia. When every other time we've seen him, he's abandoned everything. Everything,
but that's not true.
Leia.
He does help Leia. He helps Leia survive.
Ultimately,
and escape. Yes. Ultimately,
okay. Yeah. Ultimately, he does what he needed to do. But when Rey talks to him, and he even tells R2, "That's a low blow," that was low,
right?
But the thing is, he doesn't. He's not going to go in the first place. That is unlike Luke, and they have not given us anything on screen to justify his abandonment of Leia.
But
if anything, what they've given us on screen should mean he wants to redeem himself in Leia's eyes.
Exactly. I like that.
I disagree.
Well, you can be wrong.
No,
I disagree with your disagreement.
And here's why. So Luke, by the time The Last Jedi rolls around.
Yeah.
And The Force Awakens, Last Jedi, they bleed into each other. Luke is seen wearing Jedi robes. When we first see him in Force Awakens, it looks like, oh, here's Jedi Master Luke. He's just sitting on top of this mountain. He must be reflecting or contemplating, or he must be all in the, you know, meditating in the Force and all of these things. And we you know, they left us to create these ideas. And we find out that Luke does not wear those robes very often. It almost seemed to me like he was maybe he was performing some kind of ritual or trying to remember a lost time or something, but he doesn't wear them very often.
I think he was just cold because he wouldn't have been doing a ritual of any kind.
He wears them in ceremony because when he takes them off and he's in his hut, he folds them very carefully. He keeps them
safe. That doesn't necessarily mean he wears them in ceremony.
Okay, that's what I'm inferring. Right,
but what ceremony? Because he's cut himself off from the Force.
You're right.
And the
well,
Jedi.
I don't know what ceremony, but he clearly holds it sacred. He holds the ancient Jedi texts
what
sacred.
What if that is the moment when he is taking the oath to renounce the Jedi Order? What if that's when he...
Perhaps it is. Perhaps it's
when he's like...
You guys are getting me away from my point.
Where are you getting the sacredness from?
Well, he...
Because he does nothing reverent to anything Jedi or any Jedi way.
That's not true.
What?
When he claims he's going to go destroy the books and destroy all of it, but he can't bring himself to do it.
Okay, that's not reverent.
No, yeah, when Yoda does it, he screams in protest. He can't believe it's happening.
That's indecision. That's... Okay, I was ready to burn out, like, cut out this entire thing of history, but then I realized I don't think I'm the one who should be able to make that decision for the universe, that there is no more Jedi Order.
Okay, so maybe you're right. I suppose that's another way to see it, but that's not the way that I saw it. I saw it as when he keeps these robes in such good condition, and when he... I think that he sees it as his responsibility now. My larger point. He became a Jedi Master in all but... pretty much in everything. He's the last Jedi Master we know. He becomes a Jedi Master. He tries to teach it to another generation. But in doing so, he himself is bought into his own hype to the point where the same decision that he makes not to kill his father... He almost goes back on that decision and that logic by nearly killing his nephew. Okay? That's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. You can't deny that that's a huge deal. That's in the same way that he, as we've said before, Ben, took the moral high ground back for the Jedi and said, no, I'm not killing my father. I don't care if he's the most evil person in the world. There's clearly something left of Anakin Skywalker in him, and I'm going to drag that out if I have to. Now, I don't know what his plan was after that, but he wouldn't do it, and he wouldn't join the Emperor. He does, in my opinion, go against that point of view when, whether it was for a fleeting moment or not, ignites his lightsaber and is going to kill Ben. Because the idea that he's lost forever. Well, no, he wasn't lost forever. If Darth Vader couldn't be lost forever, then Ben Solo can't be lost forever.
Right.
Especially at that moment in time when he was still under Luke's tutelage, technically.
Okay.
So he fails himself, he fails the Jedi Order, and he fails his sister.
Okay.
And I think it's completely logical for him to put himself into exile, away from his family.
To punish himself.
To punish himself. Right. And here's the larger thing. He sees himself, and he really is, the last torchbearer for the Jedi Order. He is the gateway. If he stays away, then he is ultimately doing what he sees as the larger good, which is keeping the Jedi Order out of this, because he thinks it should go away. He thinks it should fade into obscurity, and nobody should learn how to be a Jedi ever again.
Okay, that's irresponsible.
How does that... explain him not helping Leia when she's in trouble.
That's the point. It's a larger duty. He feels he has a larger duty.
My point is Luke Skywalker doesn't ever feel he has a larger duty.
But he does now. When he becomes a Jedi in Return of the Jedi, that is his larger duty.
And what have they shown us on film that gives us that narrative that you're not adding it?
What are you talking about?
What on film has led...
The Last Jedi is on film. You have to accept that as canon.
I'm not accepting it as canon. I am asking you to fill in the blanks for me because it's not on film.
I just filled it in.
And nothing you have said explains it. I am asking you to tell me what explained it. You said he has a larger duty now. Why? Why is it a larger duty? Why does he suddenly feel that this is a larger duty than saving Leia's life?
It's not sudden. It's 30 years.
It's sudden as far as we're concerned, because nothing on film shows us.
All we see
and
is...
That's not a fault of him. It's just a fault of they waited 30 years to make another set of movies. Right,
but they didn't. There's nothing on film that explains why he doesn't worry about Leia's life.
That's not the truth. It's not that he doesn't worry about Leia's life. In my opinion, and I guess you're right, I can't definitively say this, but in my opinion, it seems clear to me that he sees his responsibilities as a Jedi Master, as the last Jedi, as the larger point now, and that he feels like he should die and let the Jedi Order die.
It's irresponsible.
Well, but even if that's what he wants to do, then you should go help your sister and fight. Then you'll die.
He did help his sister and fight.
Right. Ultimately, when R2-D2 finally gets him to behave, but when Rey shows up and makes a very compelling case for why he needs to come out and help Leia.
He can still go out and help them. He doesn't have to use the Force.
He's still a hell of a pilot.
He's still a person.
He could have gone to get Leia out and then gone back to hiding on his island. But he doesn't do anything. He just sends her away. And we're talking about the guy who abandoned his Jedi training, abandoned his destiny, abandoned everything.
But that was before he accepted his destiny. You're talking about pre-Return of the Jedi Luke now.
Right, but Return of the Jedi Luke gives a shit more about his family than his Jedi training still. Because his Jedi training was to kill Darth Vader. And he says, no, that's my father. I won't do it. There is at no point on film, except for The Last Jedi, that Luke Skywalker doesn't give a shit about his family more than anybody else.
Again, it's not giving a shit about his family, because clearly he does give a shit about his family, or he would never have gone into hiding in the first place.
No. So you're saying
he went to hiding because he cares about his family?
He failed his family.
Yeah.
He failed his nephew. He failed his sister.
We've all done that. We've all failed our families.
Okay, but they failed.
I'm not hiding on an island outside off of Ireland.
The consequences of that failure are much larger than the failings that we've done to our family. He was going to kill his nephew, and then his nephew turned to the dark side and became one of the ultimate antagonists in the galaxy. He's responsible for that. Luke is Luke is responsible for the ultimate turn of Kylo Ren. That's what we're led to believe.
Well, that is what happened.
Yes, in The Last Jedi. That's a huge fucking deal.
Yeah.
You cannot understate the amount of importance that has to this story.
Right, so Luke feels guilty.
It's not just feeling guilty. He didn't doom everybody, but he gave them a very powerful playing card, especially if Ben Solo is one of the most, if not the most, powerful Force user we've ever seen.
Yeah. Clearly there's Force users in the First Order anyway.
He went against everything that he built himself up to be.
Mm-hmm.
The decisions that he's made in the past. It clearly affected him very heavily. And he decided that him not being on the board anymore was the best plan for everybody. In theory, what he's doing is protecting... I'm not saying he's correct, but I think he could see him a bit leaving all this behind and putting himself in exile as the ultimate thing to help Leia.
And when Leia is in charge of a galactic republic, I can understand that. But when Rey shows up and says, Starkiller Base was a thing, it just blew up the center of the galactic republic, and on my trip over here, while I was holding this lightsaber out to you, the Galactic Republic fell, and the First Order is hunting your sister down.
She doesn't say any of that. She says, Leia needs your help. That's
right.
What she says.
Which is more than she should need to say. But he's cut himself off from the Force, so she has to.
Right.
But we don't know what... Well, I have a hard time imagining that in all those days there... Chewie, Leia, and definitely R2. Well, actually, we know R2 tells him something. Talks to him about it. That they don't tell him that...
Also, they're not there for multiple days. I've watched the film 5 times. They're not there for...
How many days are they there?
They're there for, like, a day.
You've watched it 5 times already?
Yeah.
They were there for more than a day. They're there for at least one night.
It's so like 2 days. It's like 18 hours, 19 hours. They're there for like a one full day.
So now you're telling me that the First Order destroyed the Galactic Republic in 18 hours.
No, I'm telling you that they began to take over the galaxy. They don't have a complete foothold by the end of the movie. It's never established that they have a complete foothold.
Yeah, I didn't get that sense either that they were in charge.
They are moving to take over, and they certainly probably will because they've been building resources for this moment this entire time, and the Republic is disorganized. I think it's safe to say that by the point of Episode 9, they will have taken over the galaxy, or they will be the larger controlling faction in the galaxy. But in The Last Jedi, from beginning of film to end of film, that's actually really not the case.
Okay, so Luke decides that he has failed his family and everyone around him, and instead of deciding that he's going to be that change for the Jedi Order, he's like, no, the Jedi Order is irredeemable. Even though he is the one who would pass on the knowledge, he doesn't feel that he can change that knowledge?
No, because he doesn't trust himself anymore.
He's like, okay, here's what we did wrong. And he's like, well, I trained this guy, and he was evil, so maybe I don't know what I'm doing.
I can't
do anything anymore?
It's not that he can't do anything anymore. It's that he bought into his own hype. He bought into his own legend.
Yes.
And he does not trust...
And he made a mistake.
Sure, but he doesn't trust himself not to make that mistake again.
So he made one mistake... And he's just done.
I'm not saying
he's made a mistake, and his entire view of himself that for decades, he's just been like this hero of the galaxy, after one mistake is shattered.
I'm not saying it's the correct reaction, but I'm saying that from a character building standpoint, it makes sense.
I'm saying with what they've shown us, there is nothing to make sense of the change.
It doesn't fit with the character we've seen in three other movies. And then we spent three movies building up. And then you have 20-something years of nothing. And then you're just out of nowhere. Oh, he's totally different now. And then you establish that, you give us two flashbacks from two different points of view. And a little bit of saying, well, I trained these guys. And one of them was bad. So I thought about maybe killing him. But then I said, no, let's not do that because he's my nephew and maybe I can fix this. And then he turns, the guy you're about to kill, because yes, you did screw up and made this mistake, but now everything is irredeemable and the Force is, we just got to get rid of it entirely.
No, he didn't say we have to get rid of the Force entirely. He said we have to get rid of the Jedi Order entirely.
Right.
That the light doesn't belong to the Jedi Order. The light belongs to everybody.
So that's... And he can share the light with everybody without being in exile.
Try to study this and figure out how to fix the problem. Luke is... I think this is maybe the bigger issue. Luke is not established as a guy who will just sit back and do nothing. Correct? He is not a sit back and do nothing kind of guy.
Sure.
He is a recklessly go into something. See, my point is that it makes more sense as a character for him to have said, I made a mistake. Why did that mistake happen? How do I try to fix this? And that he would have spent those years in exile trying to figure out how to correct this and how to start not a Jedi Order, but some kind of way to use the Force more responsibly in his view and figure out, is this me? Is this what's going on here? How is this going to work out? I think that makes him the chosen one, is figuring out how to bring balance to the Force, not just being destined for it, but he's the one who has events in his life that shape him into a character that says, this is what I can do to better the galaxy, to improve the situation for everyone.
Yeah, I don't know that he would find a way to share the Force with everybody. He may decide that the Jedi Order needs to die, and I need to not.
Well, I'm not
share
saying,
it
like, share
but,
with everyone.
But I agree that he would be. He should in what I have learned about Luke Skywalker up until this point should be trying to figure out how to fix the problem, even if he can't be the one to fix it himself. And this is when I'd like to reference my earlier timestamp that I demanded.
Okay.
You cannot... I think Zach said something about you can't underestimate the importance of a bond between a brother and sister.
No, what I said was Obi-Wan and Yoda didn't want that bond, which does naturally have a larger meaning to it. They didn't want that bond interfering with his training.
Right, but that bond should be the thing that gets him to go help her.
And ultimately again, it was.
No, ultimately it was R2-D2 reminding him of his past that got him
no,
to move.
No, but even if R2 did that, but it wasn't reminding him of his past. That was just a... Because he expressed... How am I going to... He opened himself back up to the Force because mm-hmm. he knew Leia was in danger. He never would have even... And he began to instruct Rey in the point... Or to the point of, this is why the Jedi Order has to end. Because R2... Yes, Leia is in trouble directly. When he sees her, that's different than somebody being like, your sister sent me, you need help, or we need help. It's the actual connection of seeing her, whether it's in person or hologram. But that's enough of a strong emotion to get him to act, which he does act. You can't say he doesn't.
So pretty much he doesn't go with Rey because he doesn't think that she's attractive enough.
No. He doesn't.
Like he thought
doesn't
that his
go
sister
with, no,
was.
No, he doesn't go with Rey because he doesn't believe that he is the person that he's worthy. He doesn't believe that he's the person who can help in this situation. I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that that's the right conclusion to come to.
Why? That doesn't make sense either because ultimately he does show up.
He doesn't show up.
No, he does.
No, the idea of Luke Skywalker, the legend of Luke Skywalker shows up. Luke himself does not show up.
Well, I know he doesn't. He's not there physically, but Luke makes an appearance. So you can't say he doesn't think he's the person to be there. Obviously, he thinks he can
no,
do something.
No, he thinks he's the... Okay. The version of Luke that shows up is not the... I won't say hobbled, because it's not hobbled. But it's not the old man with long overgrown hair who's been living like a hermit on an island for 15 years.
You're right. It's not Hobo Luke.
Right. It's in... Not in his prime, but it is... He's in... A callback to his Return of the Jedi uniform.
It's probably Luke as Kylo Ren would remember him.
Or... Well, no, because he's wearing dark... Way? He's wearing all black clothing.
But we don't know that that's not what he wore when he was in Jedi training.
What if that's true. I suppose you're right.
And it's the Luke who made the mistake showing up trying to redeem himself.
Oh, I think it was different. It was different apparel.
Different apparel?
Yeah, when Luke tried when Luke, to...
Well, in all of the times that they showed us... That when Luke was going to kill Kylo Ren, he was wearing the Jedi robes that he was wearing on the mountaintop.
Right. So,
This was a different outfit than we saw him wearing at any point. It's like an evolved and older version of what he was wearing in Return of the Jedi. It's the same belt buckle, black, all black clothing with a little bit of a white tunic underneath. It's basically the same thing.
And you've gotten this from seeing the movie 5 times in theaters.
Correct. Yeah. It's something I noticed immediately, actually, the first time I saw it. But the point is, and his hair is dyed brown, you know what I mean? There's no gray in it. He's not even carrying his own lightsaber. He's carrying the lightsaber of his father.
He's carrying the one that got broken in half.
The one that we got broken in half, which should have been a hint to the audience that this was not real. But the...
Also, he didn't leave footprints.
Right, he didn't leave footprints. They did a good job of telegraphing it beforehand. Yeah. But he is carrying that lightsaber, not his own. He is the idea of Luke Skywalker. He's the legend, the myth, the thing that people remember him being, so much so that he can be destroyed. He can't be destroyed by all of the First Order bombarding him. He can't be killed by Kylo Ren because he's a legend and an idea.
That's because beneath this mask, Creedy, there's something more than a man. There's an idea. And ideas are bulletproof.
Exactly.
I'm legend.
In that moment...
No, that's V for Vendetta. I know, I was joking.
The idea and the legend of Luke Skywalker is more important than the man himself. Because the man himself doesn't show up there, because the man himself, he doesn't believe he's worthy of that anymore. But the idea is... Also...
He doesn't have a ship. He can't get there.
Right. Well, he does. The X-Wing is underneath.
No, it's underwater.
No, the X-Wing, he took the wing off the X-Wing to make the door of his hut.
Yeah. He can't fly a three-wing X-Wing.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, the wing is, part of the wing is missing from his X-Wing. It's the door to his hut.
That's awesome. So I've seen the movie five times and I have not seen that.
You notice his white tunic underneath and then he's wearing the same belt.
But I didn't notice
the door?
I didn't notice that there were four. Well, I didn't know there were four wings on the, or there were only three wings on the X-Wing. I always just kind of thought there were four.
Yeah, but no, that's not the... The point was the door was made of the wing. You weren't supposed to
notice. I thought the door was just made of something, anything. I don't know.
No, the door is. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong because I did only see it once.
Yeah, there was a whole article on the internet.
But I'm pretty sure it's
the interwebs
about the parallels between Luke and Yoda both going into exile.
Sure.
And how they cannibalized their ships, their escape pods, their way to exile, as a way of saying, I can't come out of exile.
But also, if Luke himself had shown up there, he wouldn't have survived the bombardment. And he probably,
He could have still sent the projection out the door. I mean, obviously, he has that ability. If he can do it from across a galaxy, he could do it for 25 feet.
This isn't for sure, but I think, because you see, he's floating above that rock.
Yeah.
And the water behind him in, like, the temple area is rippling.
It's big ass.
It feels to me like he's using the power of that temple to send that projection. He would not have been able to do that were it not for the temple.
Force resonance.
That's my inference. It's not fact, obviously.
But again, he doesn't have to send it across the galaxy if he's inside the place.
Well, perhaps he only...
Yeah.
Okay.
If you just...
You're like, right, but that... My point is, Luke doesn't feel like he's worthy to be there. But also, the projection, I feel like...
Should just
the projection form, the idea, the legend form of him, was the only one that could have competed with Kylo Ren in that way. If it was just Luke by himself, I think Kylo defeats him.
Right, but I'm not saying Luke shouldn't have sent the legend form. I'm just saying it would have been easier to do from a hilltop behind the... First order.
But that would have required him leaving the planet, which he swore he would never do.
When?
Clearly, he swore he wouldn't do it. That's why he doesn't leave.
No. When did he say he's never going to leave?
He goes into exile to die. He tells Rey this.
Right.
I'm here to die.
Right. That doesn't mean he...
Okay, whatever.
What? No,
fucking whatever. That doesn't matter. Well, okay, you're okay.
And
he doesn't actually swear
even
that he's
if
never
he
gonna
swore
leave.
He wasn't going to leave. Who gives a shit? Oh, I made a vow. Big deal. People break their vows all the time.
Yeah.
This would have been a good reason to do it, unlike some people who break them
but
for
shitty
reasons.
But he doesn't want to do it again. He already broke his vow once, and it cost him everything. So why should he break it again?
To save everything.
But he doesn't feel... Again, Joey and Ben, are sitting here from the outside of Star Wars, and even me a little bit. You know, we're thinking the character of Luke Skywalker has this much power. Clearly, he would be able to help in some way. But the person, Luke Skywalker, in the movie, the character, has lost the faith in himself and the confidence in himself that he can be all of these things that we want him to be. He's not that legend anymore.
But I'm not asking him to do any effect that he didn't actually do.
Yeah, he showed up at the end and he's like,
I'm only saying if he would have left the planet, it would have been the same old Luke it was before. He could have hidden off on a hilltop and still sent the projection to accomplish the goal.
Well, maybe he could have. We don't really know how that power works.
Well, because that power is brand new, just like Leia's flying magic, but we can talk about that a different day.
Well, no, because Darth Vader is able to maintain and keep himself alive with the Force briefly without his suit.
She was Mary Poppins and pulled herself to the ship.
Right, we should not talk about that right now. That's a different day.
Sure.
But... yeah, I agree that Luke Skywalker should have been spending his time in exile trying to find a way to make things right.
Okay.
Yeah. Or the film should have done a better job of explaining why that Luke no longer existed. Because even with the tragic events that they've shown, Luke Skywalker has dealt with that level of shit going wrong in the universe. He may not have been involved with it directly.
I was going to say, it wasn't his fault before. When it's your fault, it's a different story.
It's still not his fault now. He doesn't believe it's his fault now.
He does believe it's his fault.
No. Now. He in Luke's impression,
Kylo was already gone.
In Luke's impression, Kylo attacks him. It's no. not Oh yeah. It's not until we see from Kylo's point of view that we see Luke standing over him, lightsaber still ignited. No,
because he tells Rey that Kylo attacked him, but he admits to Rey later that he is the reason why Kylo attacked him. His initial action is the reason why Kylo attacked him.
Yeah, but he went back on it. He's like, whoa, this is clearly too far.
What?
He's there. Yes, he is standing over him. Yes, he did ignite the lightsaber. And yes, he thought, oh, if I swing this, I'm going to kill him. But then he's like, no, I shouldn't, because that's wrong. And he turns off the lightsaber.
Sure, but by the time he turns off the lightsaber, Ben has seen him with the lightsaber ignited.
Yes.
And also, he doesn't turn off the lightsaber.
No, he didn't. No, in Luke's version, Luke turned off the lightsaber, then Kylo turned around.
No.
Yes.
No. I've seen, granted, I can't prove you wrong until you've seen the movie already again, but no. Luke has the lightsaber ignited. Kylo looks up, sees the lightsaber's ignited, grabs his own, and clashes with him.
I'm pretty sure that this is, that I'm right.
You're not.
Because it's me.
Okay. You're not right. I guarantee it.
Well, we will agree to disagree on this point and many other points.
The point being, I think we've talked about this as much as we can. Will you at least accept this? That the version of events that I've presented to you are a possible explanation for, regardless of whether the film did a good enough job of showing you that or not. Can you accept that the explanation that I've given you is a possible explanation for these events?
I don't know, because you're explaining to me why Luke won't get involved in the greater conflict, and I'm...
No, I'm explaining to you why Luke won't get involved, period. He did what he did.
He thinks Luke has just given up on himself because he's wrong.
I understand that Luke gave up on himself, and it may be that you're ultimately right about why. I just think that we're, as an audience, being asked to fill in a lot of blanks and make a lot of assumptions that go against Luke's original character.
Okay, and that's fair, but guess what? We do that a lot anyway. We've done that a lot with Obi-Wan and Yoda and a lot of characters that we've talked about over this podcast and that we will continue to talk about, because that's what we're supposed to do, right? Or that's what we are going to do, because we care too much about this.
Way, way too much.
And that's kind of, I don't know. I think that's all. We've said as much about this as we can, I think. Unless, Joey, you have another point to make.
Okay, so here's something weird that I'm just thinking about. So we're blaming Luke for not continuing on the Jedi Order.
Well, what do you mean we're blaming him?
We're pretty much saying he should have done something. He should have done something more. But
no, I'm not.
No, Ben and I here. I'm just like thinking about this. We're saying Luke should have done something. Why the heck couldn't Yoda and Obi-Wan have done anything?
Because Obi-Wan and Yoda were shitty people.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, Obi-Wan and Yoda did try to do something.
They're like, we're going to protect this kid, and we're going to wait 20 years.
And we're going to train this kid, and he will become the Jedi. He'll become our saving grace.
Was that really the plan from the beginning?
It does seem that way.
It does appear that was the plan from the beginning.
Just
that
wait for this kid to grow up.
Well, I mean, Obi-Wan was going to train him at a younger age, but Owen put the foot down on that along when he was 3, 4, somewhere in that range.
Where did we hear that?
It was in one of the comics. One of the newer comics that is canon for real.
I think it's also mentioned in From a Certain Point of View.
Yeah, I think it is mentioned there too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't read the comics because that's way too much to keep up on.
Sure. And also, for the record, for anybody who's like getting really upset because we didn't mention some sort of major character shift that happened in one of the books that we haven't read, I apologize for that. If you'd like to let us know what we've missed in this conversation, please email us
at
newjediarchives@gmail.com, or you can get a hold of us on Facebook or whatever with mistakes that we might have made.
Particularly mistakes Zach may have made.
Yes. All right.
Zachary makes mistakes all the time.
I'm sure I do, but not in... I don't think that I'm presenting. I guess my point is, I don't think.
Exactly.
That's a little harsh, even.
Oops. I don't think it is too terribly difficult to come to a logical conclusion about the events of The Last Jedi and the characters as they're presented in The Last Jedi. I feel like if you, you can ignore the facts that are presented to you, but they are presented in a way where you can make conclusions and come to logical conclusions.
And I disagree with your use of the term logical in that, because if you could draw logical conclusions from what was presented, I would have drawn them.
No, I don't think you would have, because you've drawn a lot of illogical conclusions on a lot of other things.
No.
Yeah.
My logic is sound.
Your logic that Emperor Palpatine is a great guy who never was never involved in anything
good boss.
Bad.
He wasn't involved in anything illegal, and he was a good boss. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Actually, that is based strictly on what we see in the movies, and it follows logically.
It's all perfectly legal. He made it legal.
All right.
What I'm saying is.
And on that note, do we have anything else we need to talk about with Luke Skywalker?
No, I think we got Luke pretty well covered.
I wish he wouldn't have died.
Yeah, you never even talked about that. He's dead. Luke passes on the effort. I've seen a couple different theories about this, that it's possible that all of the punishment that his spirit took while it was on
Crate, but it was his legend, not his spirit.
His legend, his spirit, the projection that he put out there. All of the punishment that projection took may have actually been imparted to Luke physically, like back on Octo, and that that's why he died. Then Kylo he set it up when he was speaking with Rey earlier in the film. He says, "You're not doing," because when she's appearing to him in his mind,
yeah,
he's like, "You're not doing this. The effort would kill you."
Well, somehow it had to happen.
He's dead.
Snoke did it, and like it happened, and it didn't. That's not what killed Snoke.
Right, because it was just a mental. It was just a mind connection. It wasn't the actual image of that person being there.
Luke dying, I don't think is a question. How he died or why he died doesn't matter. I just want to know if the hand was subsumed with him.
So here's the fun thing about that: Rian Johnson, the director of the film, I've seen. There's an interview where he said, while we were editing that moment, I did point out there should have been a clunk of his hand.
Then or why metal, didn't he fix it?
Because they just didn't fix it. And maybe we'll find out why. There has to have been a larger reason.
It'll be in the special edition.
I'm thinking that there's a larger reason why, but they did pick up on that, just like you did, Ben. They're like, a metal hand should not disappear with him, but perhaps Luke isn't dead.
It'll be in the special edition when they add more Ewoks into this movie.
But we'll find digitally. Out. I guess with Luke's apparent death, do you think we'll get more of Luke in future movies?
We need him. I think he needs to be there.
I've heard Mark Hamill say he will be at the filming of the next one if he has to cater it himself.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny, actually. I'll bring food to the cast and crew. Just let me on set.
So I think Luke is going to make at least an appearance.
I need to go to the set of episode 9 to deliver some donuts.
I think he needs to be in the movie in the next one, because I still don't feel that we have established enough, or that these new characters have been established enough. I don't feel like this Last Jedi did a whole lot of character development for anyone other than Poe.
I was going to say, I really liked Poe.
Like, no, I liked Rey.
Well, you're wrong.
She spit in the face of Kylo Ren. She said, "Fuck you, dude. You're gonna ruin the gal. You're gonna." She had the opportunity.
I'll give you Rey.
She had the opportunity to join him and be set up for life.
But it would have been much more interesting if she had joined him. I would have.
Yeah, I would have walked away that too.
If there's only one thing that would have needed to change in this movie for me to really enjoy it, it would have been that for Rey to have gone over to the dark side and joined Kylo.
I think I would have excused
everything else and really liked this movie.
That's weird. Why would that be? You know,
because we've spent three years.
Hey. That's a conversation for another day.
Okay. Anyway, I just feel like Luke needs to be there as some kind of guiding, even if he's there trying to hold them back, it gives them other characters that if he's trying to hold them back and they find a way to move forward and get rid of him and justify that break, I feel like that would be an interesting...
Wait, but they already did.
No.
Yeah, Rey leaves him behind on Octu and says, fuck it, if you're not going to help, then I'm going.
Yeah, but I feel like that was...
And she steals the Jedi books before she leaves.
Right, and she takes that destiny into her own hands. Luke thinks that he's destroying the Jedi books, but he's not. She took them.
This whole movie was like 18 hours of car chase. Slowest car chase ever.
What I really want to see...
I just felt like Luke was thrown in there. And the casino thing, I know you guys don't agree with this. The casino was just like, we need something for Finn
to
do.
We're talking about Luke.
I am talking about the movie. I am talking about Luke. He needs to be in the next one as, because there's no Snoke. It's just going to be Kylo Ren being...
It's going to be everybody.
Complaining about sand.
Okay, Kylo Ren, with, even though this is, again, not something we need to talk about right now. But Kylo Ren, it's going to be him figuring out or dealing with the fact that he is the Supreme Leader and not having any check to his power.
What it better be is Kylo Ren dealing with a ghost of his Uncle Luke,
right,
fucking with him
and
constantly.
Luke did say, if you strike me down in anger, I will be with you forever.
Ooh, I'm going to haunt you.
Like your father. But that could have been figurative because with bringing up Han Solo into it, obviously that's much more figurative than literal.
So. Well, right, but unlike Han Solo, Luke became one with the Force.
Right, and he can become a ghost. Right.
Right. So I really want to see Mark Hamill haunting Kylo Ren.
A Mark Hamill puppet.
And with that, I think that's it. I don't think we can top a Mark Hamill puppet. I think that's the end of the conversation. If we missed anything about Luke, let us know. If you want to be a part of the conversation, email us, comment on Facebook, send us a message, a recorded message of some kind with a bomb threat.
I don't know. That's not appropriate.
They can, though. I mean, about, they can. Any attention is good attention,
right? You should
just
come up with, like, a Twitter and a hashtag.
Hashtag bomb threat?
That would probably not be good. And now that the NSA has guaranteed us at least one view on this.
That'll add to our 50. The 50 mark that I have for every episode. Which, by the way, we have surpassed. So I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. Share this with your Star Wars loving friends, and have your own conversations like this, because that is what it's all about, to care too much about a fictional universe. Joey, do you have any podcasts or anything that people should follow you on or share?
Not that I want to admit to.
Okay, and that'll do it.
Nice podcast about sand.
Joey, may the Force be with you.
Okay.
Ben, may the Force be with you.
And also with you, Zach.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncasts.com.